actively trying to work a 10 step, and by that I mean, like, if I do it tonight, it'll be like day 2 in a row. So, like, wish me luck. This room is so intimidating. I've been coming here for, like, on and off for, like, 5 years, and it's still, like, so intimidating. And it's cool because I really don't recognize anyone here. It's like a whole new cohort, and it's great. I guess to start, like, I have never had a legal drink. I think, like a lot of us, one of those kids that my entire addiction and alcoholism career took place well before the level of age appropriateness. It was terrible. And it also looked like everybody else's. I am not special in any particular way when it comes to the way that I felt and the way that I approached life and the solutions that I generated to deal with problems that I probably created. I am going to talk a little bit about what my disease looked like and how that progressed. Because for me, identification with someone else's story was like what really attracted me to this program in the first place. It's what kept me in my seat, and it's what keeps reminding me that I belong here. I feel like it's important for me to mention that, like, you know, alcoholism, addiction, it's a very interesting disease in that it doesn't really matter so much, like, what the substance was or how long you were doing it for or what that looked like or why you picked up in the first place, right? Like, where I come from, we rely very heavily on the pickle metaphor, if any of you know about it. Like, if you start out as a cucumber and you sit in vinegar long enough, you will be a pickle. And how you got into that vinegar doesn't always matter, right? Like, that stuff matters later. So I don't know if I was born an alcoholic. You know, I don't know. I definitely had a lot of the escapist behaviors as a kid. I think the first time that I had tried to get high on my own or tried to, like, get out of my current state with substances was when I was 5, and I cheeked my Flintstone vitamins for, like, 30 days at a time, and then I would eat them all at once. And when you're 5, like, that's a lot of B12 and niacin. I don't want to say I was, like, that smart, but I was on to something that someone probably should have intervened on, but did not. I did not have a great childhood. It was not loving or safe or supportive. And there is a very good chance that I am just a product of a really shitty environment. And that's okay today, right? Like, it doesn't change the fact that, like, I have this disease and that there's a solution for this disease and that I, through getting sober and through working this program, I have an opportunity to deal with that stuff outside of here and to achieve a level of recovery and a sustainable and content life. About my actual drinking. I picked up my first drink when I was 7, and it was very classy. I drank a bottle of champagne in the basement of my house during a dinner party. I don't remember a lot of it. I remember that feeling that I think a lot of us got, where it was like, oh shit, like, this is the magic, right? The planets have aligned, and I can do this forever. I felt like comfortable in myself for the first time. I felt safe in my own body. I felt like no one could hurt me. And those are things that I wanted so badly. And I didn't know how to get them elsewhere. But I knew that when I saw other people drink, they were happy and they were laughing. And I wanted that. I wanted the connection and I wanted the security, and I used alcohol and drugs to get that. I didn't, like, crash and burn by the time I was 8 or anything. Like, there was some, you know, general, like, Stepford Wife, like, mommy drinks because you're sad moments up until I was, like, 9, where I would make vodka lemonades and fold laundry in front of the infomercials at, like, 4 a.m. And I thought that was normal because, like, I spent, like, 8 hours a day trying to learn fractions, and life was really hard, and I really deserved this experience. And I also really wanted a ShamWow. That's what I remember most of that experience. You know, and then I found drugs around that time. They were introduced to me by a parental figure who probably should have known better but didn't. And you know, that was a whole nother, like, oh shit, man, like this is the money, right? This is how I'm gonna get through the rest of my life. And I can't lie and say that it didn't help me, right? Like, it created a level of separation between me and the outside world and between me and my own thoughts that I, like, needed, because I had no other resources for coping with that. So, like, fast forward, because really, like, everything else in the middle is just, like, a series of embarrassing stories in which I, like, degrade myself and, like, urinate in public and sleep with people that I don't remember. So, you know, the way that alcoholism works is, like, while there is that, like, bodily tolerance, right, like, we start to drink more, we start to not be able to get drunk, we start to have these symptoms, right? Like, I got these tremors in the morning, and, like, I would get very sick all the time, and the same thing with drugs, but, like, the way that I began to shut down so much. I was so closed off from the rest of the world and from other people and from myself. Like, that, I needed that level of delusion and seclusion to, like, perpetuate the denial, because it's really hard to maintain that type of using career when you're, like, really aware of what's happening, right? And, like, I, you know, I destroyed a lot of shit. I hurt a lot of people, and I hurt myself. And I did things while under the influence that, like, I'm still ashamed of today, right? Like, I'm working on letting go of that, but, like, some things take longer. And the goal with every drink and every drug was to, like, make myself as empty and numb as possible. And in that effort, I degraded myself in ways that I never thought that I would. And it eventually, it stopped being that magic solution. It stopped making me feel safe. It stopped making me feel like I was invincible and that I was, like, connecting. And then, you know, like, talks about in the book, like, I hear all the time, like, that gnawing, empty loneliness sets in, right? And then you have to do more because you don't know how to deal with that either. The only solution that I had and the only solution that I'd really put a lot of effort in to make work was, like, not working. So the end of my using, I'd spent some time like not living at home, and, you know, like, doing the whole couch hopping. I mean, I'm from the country, so, like, bench hopping and woods hopping and, you know, all the fun stuff that you do. I had made some really shameful career choices in order to financially support my life. I had no relationship with my family. The only time that we spoke was in an elaborate blackmail scheme with each other, and I know that sounds crazy, but, like, I was, like, that kid who wanted to expose my mother's long-term affairs in order to get a pair of Ugg boots so that I can sell them for drugs. So I was obviously, like, prime child. You know, up until that point, like, I was able to maintain, at least on the outside, right? Like, I was... I mean, granted, I was, like, in middle school, so, like, it's really, like, hard to fail out of middle school. And there's not a lot of responsibility that comes with that, but, like, I was able to maintain, you know, I couldn't show up because I spent most of that time freebasing in the bathroom, but I did have a solid GPA, so no one really bothered me. You know, and then, I don't know, man. There's no real explanation. Like, I got worse, right? Like, I kept doing awful things, and it kept progressing. So the last, like, few, like, glory days, right? Like, I was 14. I had just started high school.